Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Like, we have a real relationship that's like, you know, like, okay, for example, this woman right here, I love her more than anything in the world, and I find her beautiful and sexy at all times.
Here it comes.
This morning, I woke up, my alarm clock was her getting peed on by a cat, her head covered in urine.
Yeah.
And guess what?
I screamed.
I was hard. Okay. Never been more hard. No. And welcome to Shit They Don't Tell You.
And welcome.
A show where you can get tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of relationship advice and other cool things.
Other cool things, too. My name's Nikki Limo.
And I'm Steve Green. And today, indeed, we are talking about...
cats.
And most importantly, what things that you can do to mess up a good relationship.
Ooh, that's a good topic.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, like, say things are going good.
Yeah.
What can you do to mess it up?
You cheat.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty solid. I think that's like an instant deal breaker.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty normie. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not super creative when it comes to how to ruin a good relationship. I think it's harder to like consciously, you know, be thankful and maintain a good relationship.
That's very true.
I think there's so many things that you can do to ruin one.
Describe be thankful.
Like appreciating your partner and treating each day, like each moment as if you're still dating, you know? Not like getting so cozy and lazy that you don't see your partner as someone that you have a crush on.
Very true.
You know?
Very true.
I think that's like one thing that I see people get wrong is once they got the girl or they got the guy and they get married, they had the wedding day, the big show, you know, it's like, now what? And then they just kind of devolve into roommates.
Yes.
And they stop like having crushes on each other.
Yeah, the roommate culture thing is really bad.
Yeah, and it's rampant. And I guess maybe because we're old enough now that people we know have been in relationships for a long time.
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah.
Like a decade plus or whatever, that we are actually seeing the fallout or the
method gone wrong.
Yeah, everyone started out with their different strategies on relationships, mm-hmm. and like, you definitely see the divergence of where they were as a couple to now based on actions and or non-actions.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's one of those things too where I worry about, you know, I know everyone sets expectations too high,
mm-hmm.
but I really do think that instead of doing that,
yeah.
because you always do that, right? You start dating somebody. And like, I don't know if, well, I know you're like this and I'm like this, but like, as soon as I start dating somebody, I'm like, okay, I could, you know, I'm imagining our wedding day. I'm imagining right. all this shit. Cause I'm like, is this possible with them?
Yeah.
And I'm excited.
Right. Right. But you have to like see it in your mind. Like, can I see a future with this person? Like,
yeah.
will I feel the same way 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road?
And me, cause I'm a fighter. I'm like, yeah, I will. And yeah I'm going to bring it. And don't worry. I'll fucking bring it. Right.
Yeah,
like all
yeah,
that shit. Right.
Yeah.
But like, then I find out when, you know, like Mike Tyson likes to say, you have a good plan until you get punched in the face,
mm-hmm.
and all goes out the window. And that's basically how a relationship is. It's like,
yeah.
you have those intentions, you can't wait for maybe, hopefully, that next thing, at least for me, because I'm like a romantic person.
Yeah, me too.
But then like some people are just like, well, I don't know what could happen. Maybe it's like completely going to suck. And like we all know people like that, right? But yeah, but that's how I am, right? So then, then it becomes, okay, once I get punched in the face first, can I maintain this idea of them, right? Can I maintain this like where I want them to be? And maybe
Something that feels like a punch in the face?
Someone talking trash about you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, behind your back.
Yeah.
And it's like your partner's talking about you, or your partner's sitting there while someone's talking trash about you, and they're not saying anything.
Right.
Like, don't say that about my person.
Yeah.
That's a huge one for me. Like, that's maybe like the biggest one for me.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, other than cheating, like not to like, more nuanced one rather.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's probably like the biggest one for me is like loyalty.
Yeah, loyalty.
Like, knowing it, and like with that, knowing that you're going to have my back like I have yours.
Well, because there's a certain amount of trust, and when it's like a betrayal.
Yes.
That like you thought this person was going to have your back and then they didn't.
Yes.
Yeah, that would really suck. I think that there's two ways for a relationship to get ruined. One is like hard things, the big things, the cheating, the trash talking, things that happen and it's like a one and done.
Yeah.
Or slowly, painfully over time. Just the waning over time.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of that cliche of it's not about the dishes in the sink.
Right.
You know, it's about the thing behind that.
Them. Yeah. Like that scene.
Yeah.
With Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. Well, that you don't want to do them, that you're not helping the partner, that you're maybe like it's something that's been important to them. If they've voiced something that's important to them and you don't think it's that important, so you just ignore it.
Yeah.
But because
then
it's like,
you continue, it's just not a big deal. Dishes.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
And
it's not
for
a big
them,
deal.
Like it was a big
but
deal.
But it's like, and they feel crazy for, you know, harping on it. So they're not going to harp on it. Just resentment starts to build slowly over time. And then it's just they don't know why they fell out of love.
Yeah. I think that's a big one.
Yeah. I think resentment is a huge invisible force that you can sometimes trick yourself into thinking that you don't have it, or that you like, oh, everything's good, you know, I don't have resentment. But if you didn't really resolve an issue with your partner, and that issue comes up again and again and again and again, and each time you kind of dismiss it, and so you're kind of basically saying, oh, I'm not going to set a hard boundary on this, like it's okay to do this, but I'm going to harbor resentment subconsciously.
Yeah.
It builds over time. And then, you know, people always talk about love like it's, you know, it's a chemical thing and it's natural for people to fall out of love. And like love becomes more of a commitment than a feeling or whatever. There's a lot of copium going on about when you're in a relationship for a long time. It's so natural for the love to go away, and then but the partnership is about, you know, sticking with it, and it's almost like it's a business. That's after true. That and a lot of people have come to that school of thought that, well, it's natural for the love to fall away, like love is supposed to fall. We're not meant to be monogamous,
right?
We're not meant to do that. It's against nature. And
it's like
so,
a newer thing that we
so
came up with.
So if we're going to hold on to, if we're going to hold on to commitments, then it's just going to be about the commitment. It's not about the love. And because I think so many people don't actively work on conflict resolution and courting your partner still and continuing to date and doing things that are like, you know, what you would do in the beginning to impress your partner, I think that it has become very common to like lose the initial attraction and lose those feelings that you have for them. And therefore, when these couples get together, they're like, oh, yeah, me too. That's natural. I think that just happens for people. And right. Like, and they all get together and go, yeah, that happens. So like, yeah, it's not, marriage is about, you know, holding through and, you know, supporting the family and sticking to your commitments or whatever they say. And
sounds contractual.
I don't think it's true. I mean, I was open to the idea of people warning me about that, like where I'm like, okay, something to brace for. I hope that doesn't happen, but you know, if everyone's saying it, maybe that's just something that happens to people. And I'm going to do my darndest to not let it happen, but you know, maybe that I don't know. Maybe they're right. I have never gotten to a decade plus with somebody, but being being at the other end of it now, I mean, I'm more in love with you than ever.
Yeah,
and
same.
And I think that, and then I'm trying to reverse engineer that so that people, like, what did
we share
do?
The technology,
yeah,
with the world?
Like, what did we do right that we can maybe tell people now for people that are beginning a relationship before it's too late. Like, these are the things that you can do to, like, water the plants, you know?
Yes.
If you stop watering the plant dies. Yes. Yeah. So it's not rocket science with that, but it is rocket science, I think, for love, because if you're not shown healthy examples, and if every example in your life of a long-term relationship has been people falling out of love and just sticking with it, yep, because they made a vow.
Or they have a kid or whatever.
Yeah, or wherever the reasons are, they just think it's the right thing to do. Then you're just shown that over and over again, and you don't try to actively go a different route.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, and I worry about the, you know, like I was saying earlier before, like the expectation thing. Like you have to earn that to me. Like, mm-hmm, the like, let's get married, like, let's, like, okay, we're a good fit and let's get married.
Don't just do it because it's a milestone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or like, it's been a long time. We've been there two years. Everyone says 2 years, or like, get off the pot kind of thing.
Yeah. I think I've been very fortunate in that regard. I think both of us have. But like, I've realized that a lot of people grow up with their parents, usually like the mom, but like, it can be either one, you know, really, really like, praising the wedding part, like, when you gonna get married, when you go, oh, the wedding, when's the wedding, was the wedding. True. Like, it was a really big part of them, like their childhood, of them imagining a wedding, because their parents had a wedding and it was big and it was a celebratory thing and it was this whole thing. My parents didn't have that, so like, my mom definitely never talked about a wedding or put in any pressure on me to get married, or like having a, like, putting all this, I feel like people put a lot of emphasis on the actual wedding day.
They do.
Like, it's their, like, it's a show. It's like their day. It's like, it's my day because I'm getting married. And I never thought about a wedding that way. I didn't have any examples of it. So
I think too, sometimes psychologically, some people are like, they don't get attention. And then the wedding is a forced attention day for them.
Yeah.
And so they like focus the whole thing on that. But like, it's not really about that.
So that's why when I'm trying to reverse engineer it, I'm like, well, there's a lot of variables here that I feel like made a different path that, and I'm not sure how much each one contributed, but I mean, I got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
I mean, we were both on YouTube. Yeah. I didn't feel any lack of attention. I didn't feel any, and also I'm not like, I don't really revolve my life around that either.
Same,
but like,
don't give a shit.
But I also felt very special from you, mm-hmm, like specifically when I think about my ex-boyfriends, there was like a lot of pull away where I felt like they weren't really giving me a lot of attention, and maybe I got like a little needy or whatever, but I never felt that with you. I never felt like a lack of attention from you. So when our actual wedding day came, it was like just so laid back.
Yeah,
like
it was cool.
So casual. It was like just having a party. I was so happy that everyone was there.
It was very true.
And like, I really didn't like I really didn't feel like it was about me, you know? I mean, it was about us, but I didn't really like see it as like, this is my day.
You were not a bridezilla.
No.
You were the last person I would describe as that.
I mean, and I had never gone to a wedding in my adult life before my own wedding. So
true.
I didn't have those examples to compare to. But yeah, so the emphasis really was on just like, I was just so happy our friends and family were there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in love with you. Mm-hmm. And we're like solidifying a commitment to each other. It was really exciting. I made a lot of should I get off the pot jokes, but it was never like,
no, it wasn't real.
I never like needed the wedding day. Like, I never needed the, like, I'm at this stage of my life and I need to be married by now. You know what I mean?
We also never coast it. Like, I think that where people really mess up is they get married.
Yeah.
I got the commitment. I got the ring. Yeah. Now I'm going to coast a little bit. And maybe you don't even know you're going to coast.
Right.
Maybe you're just like, I want to do this for my partner, but I'm not going to. Maybe they'll understand or whatever, because we have work, we have to do things, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of going like, no, I'm gonna like go out of my way to make sure I get it done to show them that I love them. And like, and not taking for granted that they know that you love them because you guys are married. Like, just like trying to put the extra mile, I think goes a long way.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people miss that, like in this entire thing. Like they think, I got it already. I booked it.
Yeah, there's no more steps.
Yeah, it's a win in the books.
Other than having a baby, which then I feel like a lot of people do because it's the next step. Like,
oh man, that's one of the worst things.
Yeah, and I think like for me, I've never done anything because I was supposed to. Like, it's never been like, oh, well, I have to. Well, I'm supposed to do this, so that's why I'm doing it. I mean, I'm talking in every part of my life, and it wasn't me trying to be contrarian either, but like, you know, with school, I always thought I was going to go to like Stanford or Yale or like some like big university because I was like in the gifted program and everyone just like I was the academic student. I got a scholarship to go anywhere I wanted in California. All the stars looked like they aligned in the path of me going to some prestigious college. And I didn't know where I wanted to go, so I went to community college first. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, it makes logical sense to me to do that and then transfer to a university because you have to get your GED done anyway. Might as well do it like at home. In my hometown, Santa Barbara, is pretty good junior college too. So, and they have an easy transfer program. But I just realized that it wasn't getting me where I wanted to go. I felt like it was getting in the way of my career. And I feel like when you know what you want, when you're so solid on that and you know from here in your heart, not from like your like, oh, wouldn't that be cool? Like I could be a star, you know, not from your like ego, but from like really your heart. I think following that is a path less traveled. But I feel like that is the method for sustainability in my mind of no regrets of never feeling like I strayed from my truth, you know, and it was hard. I think people sometimes think that I just advocate for like dropping out of college or whatever.
Like
as if it's easy or
act like we want everyone to divorce and get and drop out of college.
Yeah, exactly. But when I tell you like, it was not part of my plan to, like originally, and that it took a lot of thought and a lot of like making pros and cons lists and really thinking about like, am I sure about this? Because it seems bonkers bananas from my entire history of what I've ever said I wanted to do. And I think when you can strip away from societal structures, from like what your expectations you think society has on you, when you strip away all labels of like, oh, you're the academic one, you're the, these are traditional female thing like roles or whatever, traditional gender roles. If you can strip down like political beliefs, religion, and just get to really who you are and then follow what your heart is telling you to do, and if you can be like ballsy enough to do that and not listen to what society says to do, I think that you can't go wrong. And I feel the same way about relationships. I think that a lot of people are panicked about finding someone because their biological clock is ticking and like they're already this age and they're not married and they need to have kids by this age and they're not even close, and they get in this like mentality of like, I need to be on this timeline, which is a made up timeline. It's what society told you your timeline was. It's not real. It doesn't exist. Like, you weren't put on earth with a timeline.
What about people who are like, hey, look, I'm in my 30s. I gotta have a kid by 40.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, freeze your eggs. I don't know what to tell you. Like, you know, there's sperm banks. You can freeze your eggs. There's lots of things you can do. You can adopt later. But the one thing I wouldn't do is rush into a relationship with someone just because I need a partner to have kids with.
Yeah.
That is the absolute worst thing that you can do. I think that's a prison sentence, honestly.
But isn't that what like maybe half of people who have ever lived have done?
Yeah. And I think that's why. I think there's never been like a book. There's no manual on like, here's how to form a healthy relationship. And there's not enough examples in the world. It's not taught in school. It's some shit they don't tell you. Yeah. It's fucking stupid, by the way, that they don't have interpersonal relationship classes. There was, in my brief stint in college, the 1 year that I went, I did take an interpersonal relationships course because I thought I was going to major in communications. But I took an interpersonal relationships course, and there was so much gold in that course. That's like a throwaway course. It's like an elective. It's like not even like a core class, right?
Drop some beats. What did you hear?
I thought that everybody understood I statements.
Explain.
Are you familiar with I statements?
No, not off the top of my head. No.
Okay, so like when you're in a conflict with somebody, you don't come at them and go, "You make me feel so bad when you do this and you do that, and you always cause this pain. Like you're causing my pain." It comes off as an attack, and the other person shuts down and goes into defense mode immediately. You will never get somebody to come around to your side by like attacking them like that. Either they'll try to appease you, but they won't really mean it, or they'll go full attack back at you, right? But an I statement is,
I think I do that.
I feel you. Yeah, it's the healthiest conflict resolution method.
Yeah,
and we touched on it a little bit in junior high, I remember, but most people don't remember this class, I guess, or I took a very special class, I don't know. But like, I bring it up because I felt like everybody knew that. Like, everybody is aware of I statements, and I would bring it up like, oh, you know, you'll do an I statement. And they're like, what's an I statement?
Yeah.
Well, the I statement is just like, you're taking ownership for your feelings, and you're trying to find the solution with the person together, right?
Yeah, that's great.
So I feel sad, or I feel hurt when I've asked if you could do the dishes and you say yeah, and then it doesn't get done. It makes me feel like you don't think these needs are important, and they are very important to me. Yeah. And it would be nice if we could just get.
And I feel like you're being a bitch.
Yeah, and I am.
And so that's an I statement.
And I am being a bitch, and do the fucking dishes,
for
asshole.
Acknowledging my feelings.
You're welcome.
That's not an I statement. You can...
I feel like a butt. I feel I'm being a bitch. And still go do the fucking dishes, you asshole. Fucking
asshole.
Asshole. Yeah. Yes, okay. Asshole.
Yeah.
No, but...
No, it does help. No, because I have been in many situations where just coming at it, like someone's coming at me hot, mm-hmm. and then coming at it from like, oh, I see it like this, where are you coming from? And it almost like puts a fuse out or something. Like people are like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not as mad as I am.
Another thing you can do, especially when you disagree with somebody, like especially if it's like something... like politically or whatever, like you, if you like really disagree with them, is to state what they believe in a, like, so you believe XYZ just so they feel understood.
Oh, sure.
And then you can say your piece or whatever, but nobody will ever listen to you if they feel misunderstood.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you're just going at them and you're slapping labels on them, and you're telling them like, well, you're a misogynist because you think that women shouldn't be able to get abortions or whatever. Yeah. You know, there's lots of very controversial topics out there, right? Well, that's not what they feel, actually. That's, they don't feel they are being misogynistic. So you can't just come at someone like that.
Yeah, it's hot.
What you can say is like, you think that life begins at conception and da 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 da, and that by having an abortion that it is murder. And the person can feel understood by you. It doesn't mean I have to agree with you. Right. I staunchly disagree with you, but at least we can come from a place of understanding. Like, I understand this is your viewpoint, and now I'm going to tell you my viewpoint.
Right.
So now you maybe hopefully will try to understand me. But I think a lot of people just fucking bang heads all day long,
yeah.
and you're not getting anywhere.
No.
Like, people don't understand that when they go on Twitter and just angry rant, that like you're either talking to an echo chamber or you're just making the other person more firmly set in their beliefs that you're against, because you just sound like an asshole. You don't sound like you understand anybody or that you're empathetic to anybody. You just sound like you're very self-righteous and like your point of view is the end all be all.
Do you think that people ruin a good relationship with that kind of attitude?
Yes.
Yeah, I do too.
Yes, I think that conflict resolution is something that should be taught in schools. And it's not. And it's bullshit. Because I think that it's so important for, we as a people are the fabric of society. Like, we have to make this shit work together. And same with relationships, but as a greater whole, as a collective, like, we are supposed to make some shit work together as a community, as a global force, right? And it's if you look outside, it's fucking nuts out there. It's like wars everywhere. It's fucking conflict city. Nobody can agree on anything. Everybody hates their neighbor, blah, blah, blah. Because, like, you're not taught at base level how to understand people and then therefore work through conflicts together. And honestly, I'm starting to think it's on purpose.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, that's why, like, people go into conspiracy theories or whatever. But, like, I really do think, to a degree, that the more people are fighting, the easier they are to control. And, like, when people are angry, you can navigate them towards a certain viewpoint.
I think the news is there for that.
You can aim their anger at something that's misaligned, actually. Like,
I think the news is there to agitate you into you know, just totally either apathy, right, or agitate you into just misunderstanding what maybe people actually want.
Because I try to always figure out, like, why, like, what's the motive behind, why wouldn't we teach stuff like this in school? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we teach basic finance skills and basic communication and interpersonal relationship skills at a very young age, starting, like, very young, like six.
Because Barclays doesn't want you to know about how to use money, because they want you to get a credit card.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, everything that I think that's important for us that would be really important for us as a society to know, and that we aren't taught in schools, I'm always like, why? And it always comes to money, it seems like.
Well, every time they do some vote to, like, it's like, we want to simplify the tax code and make it so, yeah, we'll just send you your taxes and you know what to pay.
Yeah.
They always vote that down. Both parties vote that down.
Mm-hmm.
Because the lobbyists of special interests are like, no, that's where we make our money, the complicated tax code. Like, there's a $1 billion industry here.
Yeah. And every time they're like,
TurboTax is behind that, by the way.
Every time they're like, we need to go to war, both parties agree on it.
Oh, yeah. Every time something's like, complicated, yeah.
So stupid.
But the minutia, right? Everyone, yeah. Then it's like, okay, well, we all know how everyone's going to vote. Anyways, when we come back,
Yeah. Think
about more ways you could really mess up a real good relationship.
Yeah.
And more. Oh, and if you really like the show, nothing helps us out more than going to patreon.com/sticky.
STIKKI.
You get the show a day early. Also, I do a show on there called Crypto Corner every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
We do live streams.
Crushing the crypto market. Crushing the crypto market. Corner's already absolving their Luna losses. Unbelievable progress. We've been crushing this game. That's what we do. Proud of everybody out there, by the way. We do live streams every month, and we do free roll poker tournament every month as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see you after that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those, like, lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to, like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, That would be really awesome for us.
Like, listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're, like, kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So, huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark. Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
All right. We're back. And I kind of got off topic there because
okay.
I get a little steamy.
It happens. You get a little heated.
I get a little steamy.
You're a little heated.
Do you think that's hot?
I do think you're. I think you're hot, though.
Hell yeah.
No matter what. Nikki has a video of me like sleep talking to her.
Yeah.
And I'm just like telling her how hot she is.
It's so cute.
She's like, what do you say, babe? And I'm like, you're so fucking hot, babe. So fucking hot, babe. You're
like, let's have sex right now. Let's like, I'm driving right now.
I'm like, I don't care. Let's fucking go, babe.
It's really cute.
Great vid, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it is really cute. So, but I wanted to say that where I was going with the ignoring society is that if you can get in touch with who you are and really like what makes you happy, what brings you joy to the world, I don't think it's too high of an expectation to want to say to yourself, I'm okay with being alone unless someone can really add to that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I think that too many people are scared of dying alone, that they are willing to sacrifice their happiness for like a temporary happiness that is ultimately toxic for them.
I have to say, the idea of being alone for me is, it's not like a terrifying concept.
Yeah.
On one hand, like, because I like who I am.
Yeah.
But I now know what life is with you.
Yes.
And that's what's different.
100%.
Because before I used to, and I'm not like throwing shade or nothing, but I've been in relationships, like I was in a relationship. And I like to ask people this all the time. I'm like, hey, let's find out how bad your relationship's going. Do you look forward to going home?
Yeah.
Do you look forward to going home?
That's a great litmus test.
Thank you. And seeing your person. And if they say no, they don't, they dread it. I'm like, dude, I think you guys are done. Because that's where I was.
Yeah.
I remember so specifically being my stupid fucking Mini Cooper and driving like towards my like apartment or whatever and being like fucking A. And then I take a deep breath and I go through the door, you know? And I'm like, what's it gonna be tonight? What do I gotta do tonight?
Yeah.
Like, well, it's gonna suck tonight, you know? Like it's just completely blue. And like that's not how it is with you. It's just every day is a dream. But like if I didn't have that to compare it to, the idea of being alone sounded kind of sick.
Yeah, well, you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
So, like, what I'm saying is, yeah, I was okay with being alone unless someone really added to that. There'd be no way to know or what the feeling is like of having someone severely add to that until actually experiencing it, which is what I believe is real love.
Me too.
But yeah, at the poker table, it's so funny because like sometimes like I talk about you and people can't believe that I'm so excited to like actually hang out with my person and like my.
Because it sounds like bullshit, right?
It does.
It just sounds like it sounds.
When the norm is hating your spouse,
it sounds like
bullshit.
It's like, what do you mean? And then people like to do this shit. Like, yeah, okay, it's a real Disney movie and shit. And it's like, it's not a Disney movie, first of all, because that shit's corny. Like, we have a real relationship that's like, you know, like, okay, for example, this woman right here, I love her more than anything in the world. And I find her beautiful and sexy at all times.
Here it comes.
This morning, I woke up. My alarm clock was her getting peed on by a cat. Her head covered in urine.
Yeah.
And guess what?
I screamed.
I was hard. Okay. Never been more hard. No. but yeah, it's like, it's not like, oh, there's no like gross out moments or whatever. It's like not on you, by the way. But like,
yeah,
like,
I didn't fucking pee on
it's
me.
It's not a Disney movie. You don't get a Disney movie where your cat like fucking pees
it's
on you.
It's more like a sitcom.
It's like a sitcom.
Yeah. It's like like one of those married sitcoms.
Right.
You know.
It's exactly that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like King of Queens over here.
But no, but it's, but you know, again, credit to me. Big, huge time credit slice for me. Like big slice of the credit pie goes to me.
Yeah.
Because I put this rule in that says no bathroom-ish stuff. As soon as you get together,
yeah,
treat it like a first date at all times.
Well, can you explain that further for people that are listening for the first time? Okay, so people go,
what are you talking about? I fart. If my partner loves me, they know I fart.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone knows you fart, dude, but you don't have to fucking fart in your partner's face.
Right.
Just show them how real you are.
Yeah.
And give them pink eye.
Yeah.
Just because you don't want to show them how real you are, dude.
Yeah.
Like, just chill out.
If you're going to act, so you get what you put out. Like, if you act like a roommate, you act like a brother, a sibling.
That's it.
Then, yeah, you're going to.
You fart in the blanket and then you shove your fucking partner's head under there.
Yeah.
And give them, what do they call it?
A Dutch oven.
Dutch oven.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? We don't live in Dutchland, pal. All right. We live in Nevada.
Yeah. We live in Nevada.
Okay. There's no Dutch ovens here, pal.
Yeah.
The surest shit isn't Dutch food. So yeah, what are you doing that for? What are you doing it for? Tell a story later? Who's laughing? You?
Right.
Like, what's it for? That's the thing. But yeah, you get what you put in, you get out what you put in. That's roommate shit.
Exactly.
Just knock it off.
You get the kind of love that you're putting out there.
That's it.
You have to give whatever you're wanting to get, right?
Yeah.
Not to get it.
You only get what you give, as the song goes.
Yeah, there you go. But I think it's all the little things, you know? I think it's like the little things that make me, I feel 100% supported. Like, at no point do I feel like if I go to you with something, I'm going to get shut down I'm going to get a negative reaction from it.
Well, it depends on your mood, but.
Right.
That's just about openings. That's not about you accepting what I'm going through. It's about you going through something and not being available for like that topic.
Right.
But that's like something I expect
mm-hmm.
because I know you. But like if I like you're not like open for business 24/7, 365. Like you're like a 9-to-5 like like I have to hit you in the hours, right? Because you're just a complicated person. And but this so far from like being a problem is part of her beautiful process that I love about this woman is that she is so hyper focused on what she's up to. It's like, it's not a surprise when you see all of a sudden Nikki's on TV or Nikki's doing something or Nikki's like doing this or that, because Nikki is hyper focused person. And she has my back no matter what. And if anybody ever like thought otherwise, they're nuts, but she has a mental process that cannot really be interrupted easily. Or else it basically throws off her whole day. It's like it's like fucking like, you know, you're doing Lincoln Logs
yeah.
and then I come in the room and I'm like shaking the table.
Yeah.
And you're like, nah, the Lincoln Logs.
Yeah.
And it's not personal towards me.
Yeah, 100%.
If you're focused on this project that's like this Lincoln Logs thing.
Yeah.
But that's, again, it's about understanding your partner. And you could really, so here's where I could have ruined a good thing. This is what I wanted to get to.
Yes.
I could have really ruined a good thing if I saw that and went, well, I just can't. Why can't she just drop everything and make it about me or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever vain vanity thing that we all do to make a mistake in a moment. Now, if it was real, if it's like, hey, I'm a death in the family or something real, you would do that.
Yeah.
But if it's something like not a big fucking wow,
yeah,
you have to do your process to get. To get your day done so that you feel like you had a productive day.
Right.
And I'm not here to interrupt it.
Well, it's just so hard to, like, my thoughts just don't go back together. And then I just get so frustrated with myself. And it's not even about you.
It's not about me, yeah, I know.
It's just like, it's that, like, I can't get it to go back to the amount of focus that it was just then. And it's frustrating. And I don't know how to fix that. But I think that, like, anytime you've ever really needed me, like
if I need you, it's over.
I have
never
put anything above you.
No,
like
never.
You are always priority number uno.
Right, and that's what I mean by this. It's like, so I could look at that and go, well, yeah, that's normal. But like when it comes to the small things, why can't I just go up to Nikki and say, "Do you want eggs at the store?" Right, like, and I know there are people out there who go, "I can't even just say like, I want eggs.
Yeah,
you want eggs." And she freaks the fuck out, right? And I would have really messed up my favorite thing in the world if I saw that and just went, that might be a deal breaker for me. Mm. Why can't, you know what I mean? Like nitpicky thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I can hang with that.
Well, so I don't know how to feel about that, because it's like, if someone can't hang with that, maybe it's just not a good fit. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because there are plenty of people that I don't like. I was told by my last boyfriend that no one will ever love me the way that I need to be loved, that like that was just impossible, and that I'm just too complicated of a person. And he and I, you know, I could believe that, which is why I was okay being alone, because it wasn't worth the pain of loving someone in a way that I couldn't be loved back. But he was dead fucking wrong. Fuck you, Kai.
Like, oh, yeah. Like, dude. That feels good.
Yeah.
I'm so petty. I love
my
it.
My guy, like, understands me. I think that that's really what it is that you, to feel understood.
Yeah.
I think that you understand me more than I even understand myself. Like, sometimes you break down my mental process in a way that I'm like, I've never even understood it that way before, but you're 100% correct. And
well, I can zoom out and you can't.
Yeah.
So that's it. I'm just describing what I'm
seeing.
And then
not only do I feel understood, but I feel like respected, like where it's like not
it's not silly.
It's not a negative. Yeah, it's not like it ruins the relationship, because I've often felt like because I can't change this part of me, it's ruining the relationship or whatever. But really, it's just finding the right partner that that appreciates like who you actually are. Like, so it always felt like I couldn't be 100% authentically me.
Yes.
Like I had to kind of cover up parts that I know aren't acceptable, like aren't like really like that you're not allowed to like have a meltdown, you know?
Right.
But it's like I sometimes need to have a meltdown so I can get over it and move on.
Yeah.
Like otherwise it's just bottled up and I'm just have this frustrated energy and it's unproductive for days instead of just having like a 5-minute meltdown and then moving on and being super productive.
Or a 55-minute meltdown.
Sure. 55-minute meltdown could happen.
It's acceptable as well.
Followed by a nap, and then it's a reset, you know? It's a reset.
Followed by a nap covered in cats. Yeah. To the point where I'm like, is she being suffocated?
Is this real life?
Is she going to die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've never felt judged by you. You're the only person I've ever been with that I haven't felt judged by in a way that I'm like, damn, this is going to be something that he can use against me in a future fight. You know what I mean?
I can't imagine.
It's like ammo. It's like,
how much
ammo can we collect on each other so that when we get in that future fight, like, I can win the war.
If we're good at anything, it's that we don't. We have no resentment towards each other.
Yeah.
Like zero.
Zero.
Because we clean out all the wounds whenever we get into a fight.
Yeah.
We get into fights, folks.
Yeah, we do.
We get into fights. It's we not talk like about on the show.
People think, all the time, oh, you guys never fight? Okay.
Whatever.
No.
I bet you guys never. Oh, what? Remember last summer when you were doing the World Series?
Yeah.
And we're like, we haven't been fucking for like a month.
Yeah.
We were honest on this show.
Yeah. But we never thought it would happen because we always are like, you gotta make time.
You gotta get it in.
Once a week at least. You gotta get it in. You gotta go on dates.
Go do it.
And look, I mean, 100% with our schedule in LA, the way that our lives were, it was 100% set up for success where we could do that.
Yep.
And I thought like, oh, well, it's just a matter of prioritizing. And like, you always have to just prioritize it. But fucking no. Like, actually, this year, I mean, with WSOP, like, and everything, I mean, there's certain windows of opportunity that I just need to take advantage of when it happens. And like, we would talk to each other about it.
Yes,
and
that's the best
there was
part.
A lot of discourse about it.
A lot of discourse.
But it wasn't personal, and it wasn't like, I'm prioritizing this over you.
No.
It's like, this is for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's always team-based.
Yeah.
And we're wearing the same jersey.
Exactly.
And we have the same stupid fucking foam finger, and it's for each other.
And it's constant communication.
Exactly.
So communication,
mm-hmm.
not letting resentment ever build.
Ever build.
Ever.
Conquer it.
Nipping that in the bud.
Do the arrow method if you have to, very, very quickly. I'll do a 30-second summation of it.
Yes.
If you have an issue with your partner, like if you guys have resentment towards each other, you basically take this is corny, but you go outside. Don't be inside. Go outside. I don't care where you are. Drive to a park or something. Go somewhere and remove these little moments of resentment. Like they're arrows. You pull them out of you.
Yeah.
You say what it is out loud. I resent you because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because your mother's a bitch. She's a whore. Because your mother's a whore. And then You take it and you break it over your leg, and you only do that if you're willing to move on from it.
Yeah.
Don't do it if you're not ready to move on.
Yeah.
Because after that, you cannot bring it up again. You do your stupid little petty arguments. Oh, I remember, it's just like that time when you're doing this shit. Nope, can't do it anymore. You broke the arrow, bitch. It's right. It's move on time.
I also wouldn't break the arrow until you really resolve it with the partner, when the partner says, I'm sorry for doing that, or like, I won't do that anymore, or didn't realize how much it hurt you. I will... You know, like whatever, I apologize. And then, because I don't think you can move on.
No.
If that isn't actually resolved. So.
And addressed.
If it's addressed, it's resolved.
Yes.
And then you really can find it in your heart to be like, I can forgive this and move on.
Then break the arrow.
Then break the arrow.
Pull it out, break the arrow, and then don't bring it up. Don't be a snipey little bitch in conversations. Oh, you want to win an argument, right? How many couples do we know?
Yeah.
It's just a debate. It's a debate club. Mm-hmm. Instead of being a relationship where they're rooting for each other, mm-hmm. it's fucking speech and debate.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I told her this. Oh, yeah, you got to hear this, Steve. I had this line and like, yeah, I told her that. And I'm yeah. like, cool, dude, what'd you do? You just showed your chick. Cool. That doesn't do anything to move the needle.
Yeah, you just killed your own team.
Yeah, you're exactly. You just annihilated your own team.
Yeah.
You fucking threw a pick.
Yeah. You like, tackled the fucking running yeah, back while yeah, they're yeah. about to score.
You're the lineman and you just ran into your quarterback. Cool.
Yeah.
What are you talking about here?
Uh-huh.
But that's the thing. It's adversarial. It's yeah. not like being on the same team. It's team-based sport, folks. Marriage, team-based sport.
I know. And I think that, again, like it becomes normalized through other people that are in relationships who are never taught healthy conflict resolution or communication methods. And so they all just think, oh yeah, it's men against women. It's like, it's yes. Wives against husbands. It's
reason against insanity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And you get together.
And I'm the reasonable one.
And that's why they have girls' nights and boys' nights. And they all talk about like, oh, thank God we're away from those stupid asses that don't know how to
yeah.
love us.
That's the other thing too, is the, I think undue pressure
yeah.
is really bad. Like doing the whole like if your partner doesn't want to be physical with you, like for whatever reason, mm-hmm. and you take that personally and then you start sniping at them from that.
Yeah.
Instead of like trying to address like, hey, what's going on here? Like, what is this really about?
Yeah.
You go like, oh, well, yeah, of course you don't want to do that because of this thing or whatever.
Oof.
Exactly. And you don't know you're drying your chick up like a desert,
mm-hmm.
but you are.
Yeah. I mean, there's always something going on underneath. Like people, like I think really loving somebody is like loving them whatever they're going
yes.
through.
Yes.
And wanting to like be on their team for whatever obstacle
that no matter what
the person is going through. And I think that I don't know if it's like being selfish or, you know, maybe because of the Disney movie aspect that only highlights the good parts, that people feel entitled to only getting the best of their partner instead of realizing that it's a whole
ecosystem
spectrum. It's a whole, yeah. it's a whole person.
It's an aquarium.
It's an aquarium.
Right?
Yeah.
Got to get the right rocks. Got to get the right
substrate.
You know?
Got to make sure the plants are okay and the shrimp are okay. The fish are okay.
Air rock.
Get an air rock, apparently.
That's what my mom says.
Even though it suffocated our last
killed
fish.
Our last but fish, but fine. My mom said it, so.
It's fine. Probably, yeah.
Probably good advice.
Mom said it, and we're going to fight Thanksgiving.
So.
She killed my fish.
She killed our fish, and yeah. We're going to confront her.
Yeah. Yeah. In a healthy way.
In a healthy
I'm gonna
way.
I'm going to use I statements.
Yeah.
I feel terrible that you killed my fish.
Yeah.
Your mom's so sweet.
Oh, she's the bastard.
I love her.
I know, she's the best. Anyway, that's all the time we got for today, folks. Hey, don't resent your people out there. Have their back. Wear the jersey. You're on the same team.
And fuck the government.
And fuck the government for some reason.
They killed JFK.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's just duh. But who's they?
CIA.
All right, that's all the time we got for today, folks. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/sticky. And we will see you guys on
next week.
The next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.